afternoon, everyone. I would like to introduce myself again. I'm Paolo Pagliari, a master student at the Soil, Water, and Climate Department in the University of Minnesota. And today I'm going to be presenting one of my research studies, which is phosphorus availability and corn growth response in soil amended with turkey manure incinerator ash. As some of you might know, the Minnesota state is one of the leading states in the United States in the use of renewable energy. And early in 2007, a power plant was built in Benson, which utilizes turkey manure as fuel. This power plant will be able to burn over 200,000 tons of manure yearly, which will generate enough energy to supply a city of 50,000 homes with electricity. In addition to that, the power plant will be generating 45,000 tons of ash. And as the burning of turkey manure is a new concept in the United States, there are no research that chemically characterized the ash and also that established the potential use of the ash as nutrient source for crop production. Therefore, the objectives of this particular study was to evaluate corn growth response to soil amended with turkey manure ash, which we're going to call TMA, to examine the potential of TMA to supply plant essential and to accumulate non-essential elements, and lastly, to determine the effects of TMA application on soil phosphorus concentration. Here I show you an initial ash characterization. We can see that the ash presents a high pH, but it presents a low CCE. It's also worth to notice that the percent of citrate soluble phosphorus in the TMA is about 10%, and the water soluble is only 1.3%. The potash water soluble is about 14%, and the ash also presents some sulfur, zinc, and the copper is pretty high when compared to the commercial source of fertilizer. It's important to know that this TMA was not obtained from the power plant here in the United States. It was delivered from the UK in 2005 when we started some field studies. And as the power plant wasn't built yet, we did not have the ash from here to use in our studies. Now let's go through some methodologies. This study was a greenhouse study where we grow corn as a crop, as a test crop, and it was grown for 52 days. The soil utilized in the study presented a pH of 7, the Bray P was 9.3, and also P was 6.2, which are considered low testing levels. And the potassium was 121 milligrams per kilogram, which is considered a high testing level. Our treatments compared TMA with triple superphosphate and potassium chloride. The rates used were based on the P2O5 content in the ash and respective K2O. We wanted to make sure that potassium and phosphorus were the only limiting nutrient in the study, so we applied enough nitrogen and also some sulfate because the ash presented a high level of sulfur. Our experimental design now, we had 4 phosphorus and potassium treatments at 6 rates, was replicated 5 times in a completely randomized design. The PK treatments and rates were, the first treatment was TMA with rates of 0 to 140 P2O5 per hectare in 5 equal increments, and also 0 to 193 kilograms of K2O, again in 5 equal increments. Treatment 2 here was P plus K, potassium chloride and super triple to supply the same amount of phosphorus and potassium in the TMA. Our third treatment was phosphorus to supply the same amount of phosphorus in TMA and constant rate of potash, which would tell us if there was any phosphorus response in a study. And the last treatment was a potassium to supply the same amount of potassium in TMA and constant rate of phosphorus, which would tell us if there was any potassium response in the study. The measurements we took at harvest was plant dry biomass. We also determined essential and non-essential elements composition in plant tissue, and the soil phosphorus was determined using Bray P and Olsen P extracts. The Bray P is a acidic extraction, while the Olsen P is a bicarbonate extraction. Now let's go through our results here. On my y-axis, I present you with dry biomass yield in grams per pot. And in my x-axis, I present the P2O5 application rates. As we can see here, the stars represent a significant difference between rates. We can see that the fertilizer resulted in higher biomass yield than the TMA at respective rates. We also saw that the biomass increased as the P2O5 rate increased. That for the treatment 1 TMA and treatment 2, potassium and phosphorus applied at similar rates. And then here I show you the treatment 4, which is potassium with increasing rate, with a constant rate of phosphorus, and we did not see any response, which tells us that all the response was a phosphorus response. And we can also see that here on a P treatment with the constant potassium rate. We see that as the P2O5 rate increased, also increased the biomass. Now let's go to our phosphorus concentration in tissue. We found that the concentration decreased as rate increased up to the rate of 84 kilograms of P2O5 per hectare. And after that, it started to increase, as we can see here. And we also noted that the TMA resulted in higher tissue concentrations at the rate of 56, 112, and 140 kilograms per hectare. Now let's talk about plant uptake. We found that plant uptake increased as the P2O5 rate increased, and also that the fertilizer resulted in a higher uptake than the TMA at the rate 28, 56, and 84 kilograms of P2O5 per hectare. That indicates that the fertilizer provided more soluble, more plant available phosphorus than the TMA. Here present the tissue potassium concentrations. We can see that the concentration decreased as the P2O5 rate increased, indicating that there was a dilution effect here. And the TMA resulted in higher concentrations than the fertilizer only at the rate of 56 kilograms per hectare, which was unexpected because the potassium wasn't limiting growth, so it's hard to explain why it was significant right here and nowhere else. Now, plant K uptake, we found that uptake again increased with increasing P2O5 rates, and the fertilizer resulted in higher plant uptake of potassium than the TMA, which was probably due to a higher biomass yield with the fertilizer. Now let's talk about micronutrients and trace elements uptake. We analyzed for boron, beryllium, copper, iron, manganese, nitrogen, lead, sulfur, and zinc. We found that concentrations of these elements decreased with increasing P2O5 rates, regardless of source. And I'm showing only data for zinc, because if I was going to show data for all the elements, it would take too much time. And we also saw that the zinc increased compared with TMA, the concentration in tissue. The TMA resulted in higher concentrations in tissue than the fertilizer. Then the uptake, we found that for boron, copper, and zinc, the uptake increased up to the rate 56, and therefore thereafter approached the plateau. And with the fertilizer, it was pretty much constant. We had some increases and decreases, but it wasn't significantly different. Now let's talk about our soil phosphorus data. We found that when we used the Brapy extractant, which was the acidic extraction, we end up with levels in soil going from low to very high when we used the TMA. And when we test for the fertilizer, we found the levels went from 5 parts per million to about 8, indicating that the soil did not increase phosphorus as much as when we used TMA. Based on this graph and on biomass yield, we can assume that the Bray extraction overestimates available phosphorus for plant. And then when we look at the Olsen, it's the opposite. When we fertilized with the fertilizer, we end up with higher soil levels than when we use the TMA. This indicates that the Olson better estimates plant available phosphorus in soils amended with TMA. Now let's go through our conclusions here. We found that growth response to TMA was primarily a phosphorus response in soil used in this study. We also found that TMA is not likely to pose significant risk for plant accumulation of essential and non-essential elements when used at agronomic rates. At equivalent citrate soluble phosphorus rates, fertilizer was able to supply more plant available phosphorus than TMA. And lastly, the Olson P test should be used to estimate plant available phosphorus in soils amended with TMA. So thank you for attending, and I can go and answer your questions now.
We have time for several questions.
Yes? Question asked was if we noted any pH changes with the weights applied of TMA. We did not see any change because the rates we applied wasn't high enough, I believe, to result in any change in pH. Also, for the ash to change pH, it's going to depend on the CCE and also on the amount of calcium, potassium, magnesium, carbonates, oxide, and hydroxides. And we did not test the ash, we did not physically characterize the ash to know exactly the percentage of these compounds in the ash, but I believe we did not have high enough percent of these compounds to result in any pH change. Okay, yes? Question asked was, why Bray P1 overestimated available phosphorus? That's a great question. First of all, I wanted to say that we did not, again, physically characterize the ash, but the literature says when you use biomass as biofuels, you're going to end up with calcium phosphate minerals. And you're going to have monophosphate, D-calcium phosphate, 3-calcium phosphate, and apatite minerals. And in the ash case, the substitute is hydroxyl, you're going to have hydroxyl apatites. When you look at the dissolution constant for the phosphate, you see that mono calcium phosphate and decalcium phosphate will be fairly soluble at the pH range varying from 6 to 8. So when you go down to the pH, lower pH, we start dissolving those 3 calcium phosphate and hydroxyl apatite, which would not be soluble at the soil pH range. So the Bray P used an extract, that the extracting solution has a pH of 2.5 to 2.6. So you're going to solubilize all of those minerals that would not be soluble at the soil pH range. And therefore you will overestimate plant available phosphorus.